At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back in to another edition of Musical Chairs. We are back after a brief hiatus last week because there was so much D23 Disney Park news to discuss. We decided to do an extra episode of Bandwagon Nerds for the first time in the history of the show. Two episodes dropped in 1 week, but, you know, that is what it is. And another reason we did it that way is because Mr. O'Dowd, as you guys may have probably heard by now, not with us here today because school starting at the University of Massachusetts, and that requires Mr. O'Dowd's unyielding, undiverted attention. So he's got to help the kids out. But I am therefore going to welcome back to Musical Chairs for the second episode in a row, the one and only DJ from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Man, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad, man. Had a good 4 days. Busy podcasting week for me. I had, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on this week. But yeah, I'm ready to talk some music.
I wasted 3 hours of your time the other, you know.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man. Like I said, it was all. But I love doing that stuff with you and Tony. And we had DP on there, which I haven't worked with DP in God months.
Yeah, we had DP on there. We just the Big Five Project, their WrestleMania 10 extravaganza. Oh, that was a good one, and it's one that we were looking forward to a lot. It's like, oh, this beautiful pay-per-view in the midst of all this shit that we're stuck in. 94 is not. It'll be okay. It's 95 that's going on here, guys. Anyway, enough wrestling talk, but we are going to be doing Musical Chairs here today. This time, unlike last time, DJ knew who I was going to pick last time. He does not know who I'm going to do this time. I, of course, had no idea that he was, you know, going in the direction of Twisted Sister last time. But DJ's going to go first this time. But you did want to talk about I did want to say something to you before you talk about the show you went to. Like, on my feed, I got a video that got planted from Welcome to Rockville from a couple years ago. It was Sleeping with Sirens, you know, they played there. You probably saw them, you know.
We were watching them during that show.
Because Leave It All Behind is like my favorite song by them. I heard it on NXT years ago, and then I was like, who are these guys? Like, okay, they're pretty damn good.
They were good live, too. Yeah, we saw them, and they were at, I believe it was 23, was Sleeping with Sirens.
Yeah.
At Rockville.
Yeah. So I thought about you when I saw that, but you went to some sort of, I don't know, well, you explain it to the folks. What happened?
Okay, so Thursday night, we had a real, real treat and this is cool to me because it's literally 5 minutes from my office. We have this little place called Captain Hiram's. It's a hotel, restaurant,
not
bar
Captain,
type.
Not Captain Hyman. Right?
No, not Captain Hyman.
Okay.
Not Captain Hyman. It's not a virgin place. Captain Hiram's. And they do live music and things like that. There have been several different top name acts that have come through there, like on their, you know, third or fourth retread, obviously, but still they've had some big name music come through there. And we got a real treat this past Thursday night. Joey Belladonna, legendary lead singer for Anthrax, is on a very small tour through at least Florida for right now, covering Ronnie James Dio songs. And Yeah. You know what? At first I was a little, because you think of Anthrax and you think of Joey Belladonna singing. And I'll say this, we saw Anthrax, speaking of Welcome to Rockville, they played Welcome to Rockville 2024. I had never seen Anthrax, and I've never been the biggest Anthrax fan. Like, I like songs, but to say that, you know, I probably, if Anthrax were the band that I was paying to see, I probably wouldn't pay for a ticket, but I'd absolutely see them again on a festival setting. It was cool to see them because, again, they're one of the four pillars of thrash metal.
They are.
And so to see them was really, really cool. My girlfriend, interestingly enough, wasn't crazy about his vocals. She's like, I think he's a great singer, but Anthrax music being a bit strange, his vocals sometimes sound a little weird and it takes a little getting used to, and you either like it or you don't.
Yeah, I love him. But
that's I do too. Yeah. I think he's fantastic. But in thinking about it, I'm like, if anybody out there is going to cover Ronnie James Dio songs, Joey Belladonna of the older crew is probably one of the few guys who can pull it off believably. And by God, Dave, I'm going to tell you, he did. He was awesome Thursday night. Even my girlfriend, who didn't care for him when she saw him in May with Anthrax, she's like, he was really fucking good. And it was just really cool. He played all the hits. He went back to some Rainbow stuff, did Man on the Silver Mountain. He played a couple of deep cuts. He did a couple of songs off both the Heaven and Hell and the don't tell me because it just fell right out of my head. Mob Rules albums, did a Black couple Sabbath. Songs off there, Black Sabbath, you know, during Dio's Black Sabbath era. And then he played, obviously, the hits from the solo Ronnie James Dio stuff. And it was just really cool because this wasn't just like a local tribute act. This is a globally known legendary singer in his own right in small town Sebastian, Florida, 5 minutes from my office in front of, conservatively speaking, 200-300 people. And in a little 12-by-20 stage, just out there in the heat and everything, just singing and doing these songs of someone that he idolized and someone that he emulated and someone that he toured with and knew very well. It was just really, really cool that we got that in small town Sebastian, Florida.
And it's so ironic that you mentioned Rainbow and Ronnie James Dio and that sort. Not today. I'm just saying. Soon. that's all I will say about a couple of those people that you mentioned. But yeah, that's really awesome. Joey Belladonna doing Dio songs and just because Dio has so much stuff. It's the single stuff, it's the run with Black Sabbath, it's the run with Rainbow, you know, it's Holy Diver, it's The Last in Line, it's all this, you know. I mean,
and he played all of that. Like, he did all of it. He almost closed the show. The only problem that I had, he did a great cover of Heaven and Hell. I was really glad he did that one. He closed the show with We Rock, which is, again, not probably one of my top five favorite Dio songs. It's not the one I would have closed with either Heaven and Hell or Man on the Silver Mountain. Because Man on the Silver Mountain, after he left Elf and joined Rainbow, that was the song that put him on the map.
I would have probably closed with Hungry for Him. I mean, that's when I think of Dio, I think that's kind of like the song that, and I don't know about you, and no, this is not Dio's, I don't know if it's your band or not, that we'll talk about that. But like, when I think of Dio, when I think of Satan and what he might look like, it's Ronnie James Dio albums. That image pops in my fucking head.
And Dio is on my Mount Rushmore of hard rock vocalists. I mean, there's Dio, Rob Halford, Freddie Mercury, and the fourth one just fell right out of my head, Bruce Dickinson.
And it's funny.
Like, that's my Mount Rushmore.
You mention Anthrax and like never having seen them before. But I'll tell you this, because you and I are almost the same age. So a lot of what I experienced, you experienced. But one of the craziest shows I ever went to is in the Baltimore Arena. It was, I think, Halloween opened, Exodus came on second, and Anthrax was the last.
Oh, that's a fucking show, dude, man.
But we were in the second row. By the time it was over, all 10 rows of chairs were gone. We don't even know what the fuck happened. But I was with Patrick. You remember Patrick. So I'm talking to my wife. Pat, he went by the name of Hans Mueller in WWE. So he was actually in the E for a little while. Big dude. And so I just kind of hung behind him and just like, but I, we looked around at the end and we're like, what the fuck just happened? I mean, everything was gone. I think it's like when they hit Caught in a Mosh, it was like all over. I mean,
oh yeah. Once Caught in a Mosh is done, that's it, man.
Yeah, it was just done. So I mean, Anthrax is one of my favorite bands. Like you said, you know, You got them, Metallica, Megadeth, and Slayer. Those are the big four. And yeah, I mean, I remember them really well. But that's awesome that you got to see that. Sounds like a great show.
It was, and I don't know if this is like a test balloon, and that he may try to go out on like a larger tour. But if you're in the sound of my voice and you see it advertised, Joey Belladonna doing Ronnie James Dio, if you're a fan of Anthrax, if you're a fan of Dio, I absolutely implore you to go watch it, because it's incredible. Like, it really is, for such a small venue type setup. It's great.
I'll be interested to see what you think of the band I picked today when we get to them. I think maybe you'll have some affinity for them as well. But with that being said, man, let's get into it. Who is, lay it on me, buddy. Who is it Dio? Is it Dio?
Really? It is not Dio. Okay. It is not Anthrax. It is, yeah, I had another band in mind. And then about 48 hours ago, I got the news of the death of an absolute 80s hair band era legend. Lead singer to Great White, Jack Russell, passed away 48 hours ago at the age of 63. Yes, sir.
No, not. You're thinking of Greg Kinn, honey. He's saying Jack Russell from Great White.
Yep. Oh, Jack Russell from Great White passed away.
You didn't tell me. And I'm finding out now.
So Dave's finding this out live as we go. But yeah, he passed away. He had a variety of health problems. And I knew he'd had some health problems over the years. He was kind of walking with a cane. I don't know how much of that was lifestyle related versus congenital illness or whatever. That's not mine to debate. When that hit me, that was a big one for me, because Great White was really one of my favorite bands from that era. And when I think about the hair band era and all the bands that were out there, again, when we talk about the pillars, I think Motley Crue, I think Poison, I think Rat, I think Cinderella, and everything else was a copycat. Like, you can argue Guns N' Roses came along and kind of carved their own way, and then LA Guns and everything that kind of sprung out from all that. But go ahead, Dave.
I would swap Bon Jovi for Cinderella. That's just,
you think?
Yeah, because I think because they were kind of like, I remember seeing those two guys on tour, Bon Jovi and Cinderella together. It's a great concert. But yeah, I think Bon Jovi was, and we've covered them on the show before. They were so big. Like, they were the only, like, the one Living on a Prayer hit. And that thing was like on the top of MTV for like forever until Thriller displaced it or some.
Right. And that album and that song kind of crossed genres for them. Yeah. I know we're kind of getting off trail, but yeah, I would agree with you. I would probably swap out Cinderella. Bon Jovi didn't even occur to me, because I kind of slightly lump them into a different category than I do Motley Crue, Poison, Cinderella, and things like that. But no, I'll let you have that one. But to me,
no, I'm just, to me, just like in the 80s, because I grew up in the suburbs of DC, so all those bands were rolling through, and I saw like every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things about Great White that I absolutely loved was that while they were, yes, very much a part of that genre, their sound kind of set them apart from everybody else. You think about all the copycat bands that were out there, the Tricksters and the Britney Foxes and, you know, Enough's Enough and things like that. They were all kind of a derivative of the big four. And then you had the soulful voice of Jack Russell and the bluesy guitar of Mark Kendall really set that band sound apart. And while they only really had two huge, massive hit albums, Once Bitten in 1987 put them on the map with one of my favorite all-time songs from that era, Rock Me. They had Lady Red Light and Save All Your Love, which Jack Russell really, really shined in the power ballads. Like, he was a great singer for the faster rock, peppy stuff, but the power ballads is where he really, really shined as a vocalist. And that was evident in, you know, 89's Twice Shy, where they covered Ian Hunter's Once Bitten, Twice Shy. But they also had a couple songs that I love, and these are actually going to be my songs. I'll tell you about them in a few minutes. The band kind of went through, you know, obviously some changes. Obviously, like most bands of that era, 1991-92 hit Once Nirvana Broke It Big. All of these bands just kind of fell to the wayside. The music wasn't popular anymore. It wasn't what the music industry was looking for. So the 90s were kind of a tour and grind period for Great White, kind of playing the hits, putting out some new stuff, but it wasn't anything that really was really chartable. Largely by 2000, the band was done. Kendall took exit. The guitarist, or one of the other, I think the drummer and the bass player took off, leaving Jack Russell on his own. And Jack Russell would continue to tour, interestingly enough, under the name Jack Russell's Great White for a couple of years before he would finally talk Mark Kendall back into the band after both of them tried some single stuff that just didn't work out at all. We can't get out of this without talking about the nightclub fire in 2003. I'm not here to indict anybody on that, but it unfortunately is part of that band's history. From there, the band would largely split off and they would tour under Great White and Jack Russell's Great White. So just, you know, kind of a sad history after the nightclub fire. Those guys just never really kind of got back together. I know in the last few years, Jack Russell was hopeful that maybe he could get up there with the original band and, you know, just play a couple dates. Rest of them didn't seem very warm to that idea. I know he had his demons that he had struggled with in the past, and maybe that was part of it. But just it kind of leaves me thinking how, Dave, we're getting older, you and I. You know, no. We're both in our 50s now. Yeah, we're both in our 50s now. And you start thinking about stuff that happened in the past, and you're like, how? Like, I think about a guy like a band like Great White or a band like Skid Row. You know, Sebastian Bach has been just very vocal about the fact that he would love to play again with Skid Row. And Rachel Bolan is like, absolutely not. I don't want anything to do with the guy. He's just cold to the idea. And I'm thinking now, especially with Jack Russell passing away at the young age of 63, you know, time is a thief. And if you guys are ever going to try to get back together and even just do like a reunion tour, make a little bit of money, make some people happy, now is the time. And I just it saddens me that these guys just don't do that. You think about Eddie Van Halen and, you know, Sammy Hagar and how they had barely patched things up right before Eddie passed away.
Because yeah. I spent years trying to patch shit up with Dave. So, you know, right. You know, that really detracted from what might have happened with, you know, I call him Van Hagar because they are. And I covered Van Halen on here previously, like season one. So. But I get what you're saying.
So when I talk about Jack Russell's vocals, and this is one area where I really, really, really thought he shined. They did a blistering cover of, and I just had it written down here, "Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You" by Led Zeppelin. They did it on MTV Unplugged in 1990. And if you've never heard it, it's absolutely incredible cover of that song. And his vocals really shine there. The two songs I picked out for them, one is just peak sleaze rock. Just peak sleaze rock. I absolutely love it. It was off the Twice Shy album, Mr. Bone. It's just a fun song. It's one of the few songs I ever learned to play on bass. And it's just a fun little song to play along to, a fun little song to listen to. The other one, and I picked this one because, again, Russell's vocals really, really shine on this one. Again, off the same album, House of Broken Love. It's yes. Probably my favorite power ballad by that band. And just absolutely just, it's one of those things. I love singers that make me feel, and this song makes me feel.
So I saw these guys live once. They opened for Whitesnake. I'll tell you how old they opened for Whitesnake. We had like second row at Meriwether Post Pavilion, which is like an outdoor amphitheater outside of DC and Maryland. And they were tremendous. You know, yeah, they got overshadowed a bit by Whitesnake because Jesus, you know, you're talking Whitesnake in the Here I Go Again tour, you know, that sort of thing. So everybody was there.
And David Coverdale was a rock star, yeah, man.
David Coverdale was on fire. It was a hell of a show. But yeah, I mean, Great White's one of those bands, one of those staple bands, like you're saying, from that hair metal era that you just look at and, you know, what comes to mind? Yeah, I mean, they may not have been at the top tier, like, yeah, you know, you're talking Poison, Rat, those guys. Okay, and I actually, Poison and Rat had a show together, which was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. But Great White was there as well. And I mean, they just did. I mean, I remember when Once Bitten, Twice Shy, that song came out.
Right.
And that really, like I'm with you, like Once Bitten, I think, is the better overall album over Twice Shy. But Twice yes. Shy, of course, had that massive song, which really put those guys on the map. House of Broken Love, I love. The Angel song is another one off that album that really, She Onlys. And I mean, there's a few really good power ballads off of Twice Shy that I'm just looking through my library here. All Over Now might be my favorite Great White song.
Okay, yeah.
You know, Save Your Love, of course, we all. I mean, that was kind of the first breakthrough that led into Once Bitten, Twice Shy. But yeah, the two albums, you know, you got Once Bitten and you got Twice Shy. They really are like one big double album if you listen to them back to back.
It really is.
So yeah, it's a great choice, man. I had not, you know, this is what I love about you, DJ. It's like, oh, all this 80s nostalgia, man. I love this shit.
That was my era, brother.
It's my era too. It's like, oh, it's all these guys who I've seen these guys before. And I mean, it's phenomenal stuff. So yeah, that's a great choice, man. I'm very impressed, DJ.
Thank you.
Your knowledge of the 80s impresses me. I you know, we're a little bit, you know, a good 10 years older than Mr. O'Dowd, so he's probably like, oh, God, another one of these hair metal
guys. Not another one.
Yeah. There's some more coming, Pat. I got a few that I've been a little less than diving into that pool. And I'm not going to be diving into the pool today, but we will be diving into one of the most iconic bands that I can think of on the other side of the break. So I'm sure DJ's just itching with anticipation. So yeah,
it may be fleas though too.
It could be fleas. It might be fleas, but we're going to take our first and only commercial break here. I remind you, you're listening to Musical Chairs, which is a part of the Chair Shot Radio Network right here on thechairshot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, so we're back. DJ has regaled us with his stories of Great White and the Joey Belladonna Devo cover sort of...
Dio, yeah.
Oh, now if Joey Belladonna was doing Devo,
whipping good,
that might be kind of interesting.
I would pay good money to hear Joey Belladonna sing "Whip It."
Damn. I just came up with we need to tag him. Hey, we need to do like a thrash metal version of Devo of "Whip It." Now that would be fun.
That's incredible, Dave. Great work.
I know. I'm trying to imagine it and having trouble. It's like, yeah, they could probably pull it off. I'm pretty sure they could do it. Or we'll let me first in the gimme gimmies. Give it to them. They can do anything. So, you know, my band is so like you and I have been podcasting for a while together now, but you know, and you kind of got an idea of my musical taste and our musical tastes are very similar to each other in that I think that's been well established. So one of my favorite bands of all time, I mean, they're in my top five, probably even I'd say my top three favorite bands of all time is Rush. And thank you. And I covered Rush in season one on here. And the band I want to talk about today, they're not Canadian, but they have a lot of similarities to Rush that I didn't know until doing the research because I just have always loved this band. And I want to talk about Dream Theater. So
excellent. Right. Excellent choice.
All right. So DJ's with me on this one. You know, you got a band, you know, progressive rock went through like a weird phase. You know, Rush is kind of like, I consider them on an island to themselves. Yes, they're prog rock, but they do so much more than just prog rock, you know, through their many, many years and, you know, rest in peace, Neil Peart, or else they'd probably still be making music. But then later on in like the early 90s, you got this other sort of like trifecta of prog rock going on. You had Queensryche, which we all think, I know a lot of us think of them as hair metal as well, but they're a little bit different. You know, they're a little bit more eclectic and have some bigger sort of things. And Jeff Tate is, you know, a singer unlike many. You had Fate's Warning, who was out there, and they signed with like Metal Blade at first, and they were like, oh, who are these guys? And then they kind of progressed through their career. And then you had the third of those pillars, which is Dream Theater. And what I love about Dream Theater is, you know, they've gone through many lineup changes, but, you know, they have this parallel thing with Rush that where, you know, their first, not the first album, but the second album, Images and Words, had, of course, Pull Me Under, and everybody fell in love with Pull Me Under. It's like, and they didn't even know where the hell it was coming from. It's like, where's all this buzz about Pull Me Under coming from? Which I mean, I don't know about you. The first time I heard Pull Me Under, the way it just ends suddenly, I was like, something wrong with my tape? You know,
I did too. I was like, this is unsettling.
Yeah. And but it's because the song is about sudden death and they wanted to kind of portray that in the song. And then like after that, they went through a couple of years in lineup changes. You know, you have Mike Portnoy, Joe Petrucci, James LaBrie, I think is the vocalist name. I got to double check, make sure I didn't fucking mispronounce the shit out of that. But you had them kind of being under pressure to come up with this commercially accessible album, which is similar to like when Rush did Fly By Night, right? And it took off and had all these songs, and it's Neil's first album with the band, even though it's not their first record. And then they did Caress of Steel. And it kind of, although I love the album, it kind of bombed with the record executives, and they're like, we need something more radio accessible. And so Dream Theater went through this kind of similar phase where everybody wanted like this sequel to Metropolis. You know, they wanted the whole Metropolis part two thing. And the record executives were like, no, that's not radio accessible. We want something more poppy, more whatever the fuck it was. And it wasn't what Dream Theater was all about. So like when Rush does 2112 and it takes off, they gain their independence forever from the record companies. They record companies couldn't say shit to them anymore because like, well, you know, we did our own thing, our own concept album, and it was a massive hit. Dream Theater mimics that with, you know, with they go through lineup changes. And I think they got rid of their, I forget they got, all right. So I got it here. So we got, yeah. James LaBrie is the vocalist. They had Derek Sherinian, who was the keyboardist for a while. And then I think right before they put out Metropolis Part Two, they bring in Jordan Rudess, who tried out for them, or he was being approached by them previously and it just didn't work out. And then they bring in Jordan, they cut Metropolis Part Two, which is absolutely a concept album. I mean, this thing goes on. I don't know if you've listened to it, but it is a phenomenal piece of music history. It's like ranked, I think, like Guitar Magazine at number 95 of all time.
Yeah.
It, you know, and Dream Theater, I mean, Tool is renowned for these long songs. Dream Theater's like, hold my beer. Let me go on for like 24, 25 minutes here on one song. And you know, it's a tremendous stuff, but you know, once that album came out, they kind of bought their own freedom, similar to Rush. And I mean, you're talking all these years later, 15 records that they've put out, 3-time Grammy Award nomination, 1 Grammy Award. I mean, this is one of the most influential bands of all time with some really, you know, and like I keep drawing the similarities to Rush, but the technical, like the composition of stuff is like, it's prog and it's thrash, but it's like unlike anything you heard in metal at the time. Like, and you listen to Metropolis Part One and some of the things going on there, it's like, what the fuck is this all about?
They were experimenting with sound. They were experimenting with synthesizer. There's a lot going on with Dream Theater that a lot of people mainstream wise just didn't get.
Right. Right. And I mean, they still go on and you know, they've done so many different things over the years, and their musical style continues to evolve and morph and that sort of thing. But yeah, they just have always been a massive influence for me ever since the first time you hear Pull Me Under and you look at where they are now, it's like, wow, these guys are still just churning out records and still making music, and they've been around since the early 90s, like 92 was when Images and Words came out. But yeah, they're my choice this week because I just think staying power, their influence on the industry, kind of their success story, bucking the odds, bucking the trend. I love those kind of stories where they're just like, we're going to do our own thing and damn the if we're going to go down, we're going to go out down on our own terms. And it's funny, isn't it? How when bands tend to do that, they tend to rise above this shit because their fan base. And this just shows how out of touch a lot of record and company executives are. This is what people want to hear. No, that's not what people want to hear. That's what you think people want to hear. The true fans want to hear something different. And it was proven when Metropolis Part Two came out. But I'll go to you and see, you know, obviously you've listened to these guys too. So
yeah, I'm not nearly as expansive on their music catalog as you are. I have Images and Words in my CD library somewhere still to this day. It's an incredible album. It was mind blowing. And again, it was in that period where the music industry was changing. 92, Nirvana is everywhere. Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, right. All of those bands are the industry standard at that point. And Dream Theater really was not. And for, you know, Pull Me Under to be this massive hit that it was, and for this to pave the way for this band, absolutely incredible. I love the vocals. I was in a weird phase in my life musically, so I didn't fully appreciate Dream Theater then. I liked Pull Me Under. I liked songs off that album. I thought at the time, for me personally, it was a little synth heavy, because I was into really good heavy guitar rock. And while they have some really good heavy guitar in there, I thought the best of the guitar work was overshadowed by the synthesizer. So that was a little off-putting in some certain songs for me. But yeah, absolutely, I agree with everything you say. Influential, incredible music, and the fact that they did it their own way without bending to the bending the knee to the record label is just a testament to that band.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying about, like, but I mean, and there's, you know, we'll draw another similarity to Rush. Rush was getting the same sort of criticism, remember, in 92, where they were into the synth heavy after Signals came out, and like, well, no, I mean, this is actually 92 is, I don't know if they turned the corner back towards guitar, but they had been so synth heavy since Signals. You know, they went Signals, Grace Under Pressure, Power Windows, and then Hold Your Fire, and all that stuff was real synth heavy. And I think, like, I get what you're saying. On the other hand, though, I think John Petrucci from Dream Theater is tremendous guitarist. And I'm going to point that out with one of the songs that I'm gonna pick here. But yeah, John Petrucci is great. John Myung, the bassist for Dream Theater, underrated as hell.
Absolutely sick, man. Just sick.
So they're like you said, they were caught in that. I get, and you're absolutely right, because you've got this thing going on where you're transitioning from hair metal, thrash metal, heavy metal into grunge and alternative. And that transition wasn't always as seamless as it possibly should have been, you know, because it's all music, but everybody, like, you know, yeah, you can't really say Nirvana, Dream Theater. No, these two things are not the same. That sort of
thing. Not even close.
So yeah, I love these guys. And I tell you, so I'll get to my two songs, because I want to, and DJ, I actually hope you go and listen to, you've got Images of Words. So the first one you're going to know right away. So the song after Pull Me Under, Another Day, is the only other video that they had. And John Petrucci cuts loose with one of my favorite guitar solos of all time in this song. It is fucking on fire. And I absolutely, and that's this part. I'm going to play that part. But Another Day is like, yeah, I mean, you get to hear, and I think this was Derek Sherinian was on keyboards for this one. The piano for Another Day is haunting. And just the vocals and everything that James does, his voice is like, wow, this is really something different. The second song I'm going to do, though, is going to go fast forwarding to 2011. And while I love all the heavy stuff that Dream Theater does, all the really thrashy sort of things, like the, you know, stuff like there's a lot. I mean, I love Metropolis Part Two. We all do. I mean, there's a lot going on in that record, and then stuff they've done after that. But my second song is my favorite Dream Theater song. It has none of that going on. It is their greatest ballad, in my opinion, of all time. It's called Beneath the Surface. And I don't know if you've heard this. You got to listen to it. I will have part of it on here. Go listen to this song. It is tremendous. It's hauntingly, I mean, there's some deep stuff going on. The lyrics are, you know, everybody can relate to it. It's kind of sad. But man, there's like virtually no drums in the song. It's just John on guitar, James singing. And it's like, I use the word haunting because that's what I think of this song is, like, the lyrics are haunting, the melody, it will stick with you. And it is a little interlude. Jordan does a little keyboard stuff like near the end, which is like oddly satisfying. So, check that out. But yeah, Beneath the Surface is my absolute favorite Dream Theater song of all time. And it's just one of their softest. But yeah, once you hear it once, you'll be like, oh.
Now you get it. I'll look that up as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
Now you've got me curious.
No, listen to it. It is a phenomenal song. I mean, and it'll harken back to some of the, like, you're talking power ballads like Great White. You'll hear this and say, okay, I see why Dave loves this song so much. But
yeah,
but that's going to do it for this edition of Musical Chairs. DJ, thank you so much for being a part of this episode again. Great White and Dream Theater. That's a dream concert if we could have got it without the fucking tragedy involved of everything. Jesus, man.
Yeah.
It's still hard to fathom how everything went so wrong on that. But yeah, let people know, where can they check you out on social media and all the stuff you got going? Because you got a lot of stuff going on in the Chair Shot. It's not just Big Five Project, you know?
No, I've been all over the podcast sphere this week. You can find me. I'm in the pod cave. Like, this is the pod cave where I broadcast from. No, you can find me every Saturday on the Chairshot Radio Network as one third of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast with my co-host Jason and Rob the Genius. I do the Big Five with Dave and Tunney. I'm going to be on Bandwagon Nerds here a little bit later, as well as some other side projects I've had going on. You can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter at the Mindless Pod.
That's right. And for those of you, I know we, you know, it will appear chronologically different. You will have already heard Bandwagon Nerds 250 before we've ever recorded it. But I'm telling you right now, it's a great episode. I'm looking in my crystal ball. I'm traveling through time, you know, that sort of thing. Not with Tony Khan.
Time traveling Tony Khan in the DeLorean.
Not with him. Yeah. Tony Khan with an eight ball and a flying DeLorean. Wow. What could go wrong, right?
WrestleMania 9 could go wrong.
I'm convinced he went back in time and booked that thing. That's what happened. DJ, thank you so much for being a part of this. I, of course, will see you in a few moments, but great choices again. Fun stuff. Great White, Dream Theater. Check out the songs, guys. DJ, please check out Beneath the Surface. Let me know what you think. But we will be back. You've been listening to Musical Chairs, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network, right here on thechairshot.com.
Shadows of my heart, and still the time was never right, until one day I stopped caring and began to forget why I longed to be so. so close, and I disappeared into the darkness, and the darkness turned to pain and never went away until all